Would you have been scared to be left behind at the end of that movie?
It's like, Mayday, Mayday, Mayday.
That's all you could show the rapture.
$50 million? That's all we got, $50 million?
They could have took some of the $50 million and at least got the guy from The Chosen just for one scene.
Money on
Dude, they were like, just go get a door from Home Depot, literally.
they picked.
We're not even going to find a wall for it. We're just going to put the door, we're going to lean it against the wall.
Get all the lights. Get all the lights.
But at the same time, should you go see this? I think you probably should.
I'm glad that I'm on this because I've seen so many Pure Flix movies that I'm just like, man, this really wasn't that bad, guys. Yeah,
No.
Let's talk about Left Behind. We are fresh off the movie theater experience, fresh off everything that happened there at St. Charles Cinema. We watched the 3 o'clock show with almost a theater full, a few seats in front. A good crowd for Left Behind. Let's do a spoiler-free section review before we get into the deep stuff of this video. So if you're watching this and you have not seen the video, you can watch with us for a little bit. Maybe you can see if you want to watch it. But otherwise, we're going to get the spoilers in just a little bit. So first takes on Left Behind, guys.
I thought, as far as the acting, it was great. I mean, when you're doing the comparison, you know, great quality. I felt like it was good put together. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I wish I would have took my son because my son said, I don't want to come. But I want to take some people. Yeah.
This is his birthday. He was partying.
That's why he's like, I'm trying to see Left Behind for my 13th birthday.
Kevin's dream my whole life was to get me in a movie theater to watch Left Behind.
Yeah.
Since the minute we met 20-something years ago, my favorite movie is Left Behind, John. You just don't understand how good of a movie this is. And I have, for many years, dogged on him because of the campiness of Left Behind. That was before I got bored again. I was like, that movie looks so ridiculous. Then I got bored again, and I was like, all right, I'll watch it. And I was like, well, I still don't know about Left Behind.
Yeah.
But he's still like, it's the best ever. And then Nick Cage came out with the movie.
I was going to say, make sure that we establish on this, because there might be some crowd that's like, oh, the Nick Cage one? No, they were talking about
Kirk Cameron. 20 years ago more.
When I met Kevin, do you remember this? This was all you
talked
about?
Yeah, he used to make fun of me all the time, because he also took my favorite movie out of context. Like, it was like, it wasn't like, oh, this was the greatest cinematic, greatest writing, greatest acting, greatest. But for me, it was a movie that I could watch over and over again because it meant something to me. And so there was a lot more behind why Left Behind meant so much to me.
Well, that's nice to explain to everybody.
Right.
But still, if you would ask somebody, hey, Kevin, what's your favorite movie? Left Behind would have come out of your mouth. And it did on many occasions.
Kirk Cameron, my favorite actor.
Nick Cage. So this movie was a direct sequel to the Nick Cage version. Did you know that?
Do you feel like that?
No, they said it was.
They said it was, but yeah.
They said it takes 6 months after the Nick Cage version. Everybody got recast is what they said.
Okay.
So this is 6 months after the Left Behind versions from 2014. So here we are almost a decade later, they finally got to the sequel. Much like Avatar, you know, you just wait a decade and then put the sequel out. And so we've got the sequel, which is actually based on the third book, Nikolai, from the Left Behind series, written by Jerry Jenkins, who is also Dallas Jenkins' dad, who does The Chosen. So
yeah,
that's why we got The Chosen.
I'd like to raise my hand on that one. Okay. I know you said that, but now, and in my defense, it has been 20 years since I've read these books. That I do not believe was anything to do with the third book. Maybe a couple
scenes. Is the second book called Nikolai? That's what they said
it
was about.
Well, I understand. Well, first, let's back up. That movie was no different, minus the rapture, from the original movie. It was a remake from
the Kirk Cameron version?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yes.
No.
You go back and watch
it.
It was a total remake.
You watched
the
Kirk Cameron last night?
I knew that I was going to watch it. I downloaded, Pluto TV last night, and I watched the old one because I wanted, like, man, I really wanted to do the first one.
Kirk Cameron.
I couldn't stand to watch the Nick. Sorry, guys. I just cannot stand the Nicolas Cage one again.
Okay. So tell us. So how closely resembled is this to the first one if you watched it last night?
Yeah, I don't want to spoiler.
It's okay, but how closely?
I like the scene in the first one how it was like as soon as the rapture happened, then he finds the pastor and then the pilot accepts Jesus right away. And this made it seem like it wasn't until later on that it happened. It wasn't right away, you know.
Okay, but the overall storyline, how it all folds out, how
is it 50%
the climax, the end.
Yeah, I would say it's high. There's a lot of.
It's a remake.
It's a remake.
It's totally the same.
Kevin would know this is his favorite movie. So
it is totally the same.
I thought my generalized thoughts about this movie were it was I was having a hard time digesting it, guys. I'm going to tell you the truth. I love Jesus as much as everybody else, but I was watching every scene of this gagging a little bit. At first, I will say that I was like, the first off, the movie just starts immediately. You don't even know the movie's starting.
Oh, my gosh.
It's these Fathom events. So the Fathom events are typically like Christian movies they put in theaters, and it's for like one night only or a weekend only. You know, it's only 7 o'clock at night. We just happen to get the 3 o'clock show. So there's like limited number of times to see these kinds of films. The last 3 Fathom films I saw were Genesis, which was like a documentary about the Bible. We saw what was it called, the Roman soldier, and he watched Jesus go on the cross, and
we saw the Christmas special,
Christmas Chosen. Yeah. You know, so every time I see a Fathom event, it's a Christian thing. So I don't know if Fathom itself is a Christian thing or if all they do is put these kinds of things out because the theaters won't put out Christian things. I don't know. But as I'm watching this, I'm thinking this is like straight to DVD, but we don't even do that sort of thing anymore. Level movie making, like it was just like. The casting.
I'm glad he's saying all this because I mean, I'm not disagreeing with the word you're saying.
It was very like, if this was on Netflix and it didn't have Jesus in it, I would have turned it off, right? If this was just a show or a movie with just a regular plot, I'd have been like, this is terrible, guys. Like, this is really terrible. But in the middle of this, I'm going to start with this because it's important.
Okay.
I felt in the middle of this because I'm like, God, why? I'm thinking this as we're watching this. I'm like, what on earth are you doing? You're putting this movie in theaters, and it's like I've been used to The Chosen for a little bit now. I got used to this really like high level. I got so spoiled on Christian stuff. I was like, you know, we got money now. Christian inflation, you know, can we put some money in this movie? And you're getting guys who love Jesus. Some of these guys are the cast. They've at least professed. So we got some Christian cast members, you know. But this quality is it's so C-level. It's like all the stuff that we make fun of Christian movies for being known for, their campiness and all the dialogue, the script, it's all just B or C or D level, some of it. And I was just like, God, why are you doing this? And he brought up that scripture to my mind. I use the weak to confound the wise.
Wow, that was exactly what I was thinking.
And I'm like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
I make terrible films that'll get people saved. Not terrible, but it's just like terrible production value compared to A-plus movie budget on, you know, in Hollywood, where they use $100 million to make a movie, and it looks good, it sounds good, the script's been written 500 times. Here we've got less than that. But what does God do in that film? He makes
your spirit.
Yeah, and so we're going to see things happen in this movie that we don't see happen during Avatar or Spider-Man No Way Home and these types of things, which we did see, right?
Yeah, come on. Because
tell us what happened at the end of this movie, Freedom.
Oh, my gosh. So this lady stands up and... You know, starts talking about if anybody accepts Jesus into their heart, you know, just that she wanted to pray for everybody. And there was like a corporate prayer time, like where everyone was praying. The music got loud, but she just got louder.
She didn't let that stop her.
You know, she didn't let that stop her. But you wouldn't see that in any other scenario.
No.
You know,
and everybody applauded. Everybody stayed for the prayer.
You know, people had their hands raised. You know, and things like that. I just think it, like, and I went over and talked to her. I was like, man, just the boldness. It stirred up boldness in other people, I guarantee you, just to see you know, that happen. Because I could feel it.
Yeah, because you waited after the theater to just go talk to him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and I would say that moment made me feel a little bit better and a little bit convicted or a little bit, I don't know. I left there now leaving with mixed feelings. At first, I was like, I was so heartbroken, like for most of the movie, you know, because to me, so here's my, I'm a big fan of the books. I was a fan of the first movie and, you know, No, I mean the books.
You're the president of the fan club.
So, no,
he sells the books.
No, but so anyway, there are millions of people that read these books and I'm sure watching that people were fans of this book, these books, and the books were written very well. There was an intriguing story. The characters were interesting. It draws you in, right? So, yeah, okay, now the first one made 20-something years ago. No one really made Christian movies back then. It was like Cloud Nine theaters. No one heard of them. Very teeny tiny budget. They did the best they could. And I appreciated it. We are now fast forward. We are now 2023. We have The Chosen. We have done. We can see what can be done, even on shoestring budgets. We can see quality can be put out. We have people that are on YouTube that are putting out incredibly quality content.
That's true.
Okay, people in our basements that are, you know, set up our own studios are putting out incredible quality. So I'm expecting. My expectation is, okay, it's 2023. You've had a long time. Can one Christian writer producer take what is in these books and produce a impactful quality, like gripping story that are in these books? And what did they do? They just remade the same movie.
But they made it like relevant to the time. It's no different.
They
than,
did it at the beginning. So at the beginning,
it's like
yes.
Romeo and Juliet. I mean, they did the same thing. And they put the Capulets with guns. Yeah. And the, you know.
I did appreciate that. There was lots, and I appreciate it. There was they didn't pull any punches. They were obviously like, look, you know, and I appreciate it because so if you would have made this, if you would the things that they put in this new movie, and they've modernized it, they've put it into the, and they did bring this part into the 2023. So we've gone through 2020, 2021, 2022. We understand people are awake now. People have been red-pilled. They're understanding that they're not necessarily that little person on the box on the TV is telling them the truth, and that there might be some ulterior motives and things that they read in the paper. So they take this and they bring that into what would have been like after the rapture. What would have been their cover stories? What would have been the explanations? How would they have capitalized on the fear and the chaos? If you would have gone and taken what we just saw about the media and all like manipulating people's fears and how the media was lying to people and fake news and all that, if you would have made that and put that in a movie 20 years ago,
which
with
they
Kirk Cameron.
It's called Left Behind. Yeah.
No. They did not. Now stop. Some of the lines that I wrote in, I think people would have been like, "That's way far fetched." The world would never have bought the silliness of the things they were saying on the news.
Mm-hmm.
I believe personally, and I think that this movie capitalizes on the same belief that what we went through in the last 3 years was a dress rehearsal of what is to come. And that this was a dry run. Let's see how much people will give away their freedoms, how much we can shut down churches, how often, how quickly and easily can we lock people into their homes when some kind of tragedy, some kind of thing happens. And this movie talks about that and brings us back to 2020 on what it was like turning on the news and seeing a lot of fear, a lot of hype, a lot of, oh, you can't go outside, don't leave your homes, the world's coming to an end, but trust us, we got your back.
Sure.
We'll protect. And so they brought that into the beginning, and I appreciated that. And they didn't hold any punches. They basically, you know, if you're awake, you saw. If you are still believing a lot of that, you're going to be offended by it.
Here's what I'll say about that aspect that I thought was cool. Is that now, like, if I took a kid, you know, say a kid from my youth group, or if I took somebody that, you know, hasn't seen the old one or anything like that.
Never heard of it.
But they can relate to this point of time, and it becomes a reality to them. Like, oh my gosh, this is something that's eventually going to happen.
Yeah.
There was parts that I was, like, a little bit confused, like, hey, when they mentioned the pandemic, you know, was that something that happened after the rapture in this, or was it before? So that kind of was weird for me. True. Sorry about that. You know, spoiler early.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just thought it was really cool because, you know, now it's going to get anybody thinking that, you know, hasn't seen the previous Left Behind. Oh my gosh, like, you know, this sounds like kind of what we're going on with now. Like, how real is this? And it gives, you know, a chance for somebody to say, hey, man, maybe I need to really, you know, reconsider. I don't want to, you know, get left behind.
Yeah. The message of it was awesome, of course. Definitely the message of gospel in the salvation that comes through Jesus. I had heard you at some point, Kevin, go, they're afraid to say the name Jesus, but then I heard the name Jesus like 50 times.
I'm a Bible teacher. So they get in there in the church, and he's talking about...
Again, let's just go ahead and say we're going to go ahead and spoil some parts of the movie now and let people know.
So it was just a line. So sure. It was like he was talking about, well, you know, he says, well, you need to trust the Bible. And you need to trust God. And I thought my Holy Spirit sensor was like, wait, Jesus, it's trust the Bible, trust Jesus, you know. And I'm just like, say the name Jesus. And I was so worried. Like, I really was like, are they not going to use the name Jesus in this movie? Or are they just going to say trust the, you know, but then they, right after that, then it got much more.
And they gave like four altar calls. Like yeah. they gave two in the movie and then two after the movie.
Yeah.
So,
it was very heavy. And I do, I appreciate that there was, you know, you're seeing two kinds of salvations. I like, you know, I understand that, you know, the one where, you know, follow my prayer, say this after me. And I'm all for, I'm all for altar calls at churches. I'm all for, you know, a sinner's prayer when the time is right. But I also might, that doesn't always necessarily happen that way, or it's not as, it comes across, especially in movies like this, as very campy. It's a thing that people shy away from.
I think it's
their eyes at.
But people who are unsaved and that's their entryway into God, I don't think it feels that way to them.
I'm talking about what makes The Chosen or other greater, higher quality productions and what makes Christian stuff campy and cheesy.
Yeah.
That can come across as cheesy. And afraid to even invite their unsaved friends because they're going to see that.
This movie had a particular audience.
Okay. Already
so that's
fully
what, and
saved.
So I was just going to ask that. I mean, do you feel like this is something that if you brought an unsaved person, that they would, like, not check out early?
So definitely, like,
the quality.
A curious person would not check out early, right? Yeah. So, like, I think that this audience for this movie, it wants to be this wide open net that's open for anybody to come into and
even the church
potentially get saved and set free. I think that's the gospel message of this film.
Is
that the audience that's called into these movie theaters? I do not think because I would, if we took a poll, how many Christians were in that movie theater? 90%, 95%, you know what I'm saying? And so is the net that they're casting really the net that they're casting? You know, is it on the right side of the boat? You know what
and
I'm saying?
Are they writing and making a movie to appeal to the lost? Are they writing a movie to appeal to already to deacons and elders and churchgoers of all? I think that it's really catering to them. It's not, there is nothing raw and real other than a little bit of the tongue in cheek with the, you know, fake news. And they're talking about, you know, Buck Williams in the news and how fake news and all the fear mongering on the news. And the parallels between that and what happened in 2020. Bar that, I did not feel like this was one that you got into the characters and the character stories and backstories. There was a narrator through the entire movie, which irritated the daylights out of me. I was like, why don't you just read us the book? You know, I just like this
narration
is not
is sloppy movie
this,
making.
This is not getting me to care about these characters when you're talking over
you're
them.
You're telling me what they're feeling.
That's,
you're telling me what they're thinking.
Yeah. That's right. Let the actors do all that. Let the scenes and the scenarios.
Don't know how as a Christian production company
because
how to do
they're
things.
Not making it for the world. They're making it for the church.
Okay.
They're making it for them, the book fans. Would you have been scared to be left behind at the end of that movie?
No,
but I will say this, though, Kev, and I think what this does, though, is because it's for more of the church crowd, it makes us think, man, there's people that we saw in the church that we thought they were believers that we would expect they'd get, and they weren't really doing it. You know, it serves us up to be like, hey, not to just
me
be
and
like,
my whole church were
not to think like, oh, hey, you know, not to be hesitant to like share the truth of the gospel to be even people in church. You know, that's what it got to me. It was like, hey man, look, you know, there's people that are in the church that aren't gonna get.
I was stirred up to evangelize after this film.
Yes,
not only
did
they tell me in the movie theater, but I'm seeing people stand up and praying for each other afterwards.
Yeah,
you know, I was amped. I'm like, who are we saving? And then God sends immediately an unsaved person to my path, and I'm just like, hey, how you doing? I was like, bro, I'm the worst Christian in this movie theater. I don't know what happened. How much money do you think this movie cost to make?
I'm the wrong guy to ask that. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't know if this is a factual number. This is the number the internet has told me.
No way. Don't 10 million. Don't tip something high. It's got lower on the lower end.
10 million. I don't think you can make
it. I'm just
move.
Thinking of like the sets, like the different changes of scenery. The different changes of
Look,
scenery.
Look, there's no action piece.
What's it take to do a season of The Chosen?
Well, their season one, they raised $15 million to do a whole season.
Okay. So, that was between 10 and 15 million.
Yeah. They should have put The Rapture back in there, by the way.
They spent,
should not have spent more than that.
You're right. They should not have, considering the biggest action scene we had was a chase in an empty.
The car blown up.
The car blew up, and then the airplane took off.
Blew
up
in the very end.
And there's no context to the airplane, where it came from, who went and got it.
They blew up. Antichrist thing, though.
They blew up a car in the original. So that wasn't even anything new.
Well, cars blowing up is not new. But it says here that $50 million was the budget for this film. $50
Boy.
Boys and girls, this is what I'm talking about. What did we do with what are we doing with this money, y'all?
Yeah.
And then to go back, so they spent $50 million, and to go back to this thought of who is the audience, I think not only is the audience the members of the church, but it's a certain member of the church, because a lot of these jokes that we've talked about tonight, like the vanishing vaccine that they mentioned, and you know, they've got Buck, and he's the, you know, he's the red pill voice, essentially, to use Kevin's phrase, for the media team here at this fake news channel that is in the movie. So
GWN.
Okay, whatever you want to call it. So he's using all of this language that's very, like, first off, no newscaster is using any of this language in today's world. And in news media, no one talks like this on the major news networks, right? It's the opposite message.
Sounds like what?
Tucker?
Yeah, well, there's a few.
I mean, I'm talking about like ABC, CBS, NBC.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's supposed to be a typecast of like a Tucker Carlson.
That's why he totally reminded me of Tucker Carlson.
But he's the way it was perceived to me that he was on a station that was not like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Fox ain't, trust me, they do not like Tucker.
And so that's what I'm talking about. And so you've got this guy who's this voice, and he's making these kinds of jokes on the air, and everybody in the audience of the movie theater we were in was like, and they're like, they're having the time of their life here in some of these jokes. And this is what I'm talking about, the audience they made it for. Because I think Kevin Sorbo and the people who raised these $50 million, they have a certain perspective. Huckabee, who was in the film, they certainly shared their perspective in this. And this is what I want to talk to you. Who was this film made for? Because they wanted to get their message across. They wanted to get their thoughts into this movie. They wanted it to be heard, but at what cost? Like, again, who is the audience for this? Because if I bring some members of the... First off, there was no kids in this movie, besides the one little teenage guy, or he's like in his early 20s, right? And I know a lot of them got raptured, but like, this movie doesn't seem to me as like a movie that draws young people in. So say, for instance, Freedom, we bring your whole youth group to this film, right? It's just Hercules, who's like 60 years old on the stage, you know, they got nobody.
He really
they
looks a lot older in this movie than
Hercules. He has not aged well.
Well, he didn't even look like, I don't know. At the end, when he was,
I don't
just
know how
talking,
old he is. So I would just, I mean,
60 at least.
Oh, he's got to be old.
No
bro.
Way, he's got to be older than that.
So the message that they're portraying, is this going to resonate with a young crowd? I don't know. Is it going to resonate with an unsaved crowd? Like we talked about, is anybody afraid to get raptured at the end of this
movie?
Now
that I think about it, there wasn't one like kid that was left behind.
Well, they said all the kids got raptured. So, I mean, all the children. So, it was...
I mean, okay. Yeah, we're not going to go down. No. I don't want to go down. Just, let's go.
I mean, in the movie, the mugger was kind of a teenage... He could have been a teenager.
Well, I mean, they're 20-year-olds, you know.
Sure.
And the daughter is obviously a young girl or whatever in the film.
Yeah. She's with Buck, though. I mean, she's got to be older. So.
And Buck, my man, he was just in Walking Dead. Now he's in.
Guy's in Walking
Dead.
That's
the same guy.
He was in. He was in like a couple episodes of The Walking Dead. He's not.
I thought that guy was this like Pureflix guy that's in all the Pureflix movies.
Is he?
Right now.
I don't know. I don't watch.
But I'm telling you, if you go see this,
I represent Pureflix. Can I get some Pureflix shirt?
Close your eyes when he's talking, and it is Benjamin Cumberbatch. Isn't that how you say his last name?
Doctor Strange.
Yeah. His voices.
Witchcraft, Kevin.
Their voices.
Voices. That's another audience.
He's in other things other than that. And you think so? I thought he talked like him.
Back to your question. I think 50,000 or 50. That's extreme for the audience.
$50 million For $50 million,
that's they could have just made a movie for, you know, the everyday churchgoer. I felt like the audience that it was, like, hey, look, it's a Christian movie that's in a movie theater. We're gonna go and see it. Versus like, hey, you know, I want to bring somebody, because I wanted my son to see it.
For $50 million, dude, let's split this up into three seasons of a TV show, and let's do a couple seasons of this book and go to town on this story. You know what I'm saying? Because the production value wasn't so there. There's not a lot of action set pieces. In fact, Kevin Sorbo's like hanging around his apartment for the first 20 minutes of this whole thing. He's like looking at
yeah.
It was so slow coming out of the gate of this guy. I was just like, when's the movie gonna start? Because he's like hanging out in his closet. He's having breakfast.
It was brutal. I was some of the long dialogues, even just between Buck and his boss in the office, and trying to
Corbin Burnson
trying to explain. They're explaining to you why this is awful or something, you know, like these conversations on.
I'm glad that I'm on this because I've seen so many PureFlix movies that I'm just like, man, this really wasn't that bad, guys. Yeah, you know, like that's what I'm like.
No,
they don't put PureFlix in theaters. And they don't spend $50 million on PureFlix.
Yeah.
No. They put, God's Not Dead. God's Not Dead.
God's Not Dead was like $10 million.
Oh, true.
And this
I am nitpicking.
And God is Dead, it said on the wall in this theater. So to the old movie.
Not in the theater. The movie.
In the movie. In the church. Yes, that's right.
We are being extra harsh. And for those that have watched it,
I'm I already said this message is great.
The message is great. We're being harsh on the. I think it's because we can see what can be done.
Yeah.
And I think that our expectations after seeing what has been produced by The Chosen and others that, you know, this is, and I really was hoping that they were going to retell or, you know, rewrite this to, you know, maybe a different version of what was in the book. I mean, there's so much in that book.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of the subject matter of the book. So in the movie, we haven't talked about sort of any of the plot, right? We've talked about a lot of things surrounding the plot. So in the movie, Kevin Sorbo plays the Nick Cage character from the Left Behind from 9 years ago.
Ray Steele
was on the plane. When the Vanishing, what they call the Rapture is called the Vanishing in this movie. So the Vanishing happens, and then he realizes immediately that it's the Rapture because his wife was a Christian. She tells everybody. Uh-huh. And so he comes home, and that's basically his daughter helps him land the plane, and then that's the end of the first movie. And so we pick up 6 months later, him and his daughter, I don't know if they're living together or what, but they're hanging out, and she's not saved yet, and he's curious about Jesus. He goes to the church to find the narrator, and the narrator finally shows up halfway through the film, and he only has five more lines. Yeah. But and then the B plot of the movie was Buck. And so Buck and the girl are apparently a couple. They didn't do a real good job of establishing that until about 3/4 of the way through the movie, and they're like, I love you. No, I love you. And then they hug. Yeah. They didn't even kiss. I don't know. So I'm sort of confused about that a little bit, you know. But Buck is going to he's on the news, and he's investigating all of these vanishing attempts, and they've created a second vanishing, and he's going to uncover all of this and expose. And so the final scene, he exposes everybody for what he is, and then the Romanian, Nicolai...
Carpathian.
Who is the Antichrist in these book series. He stands up, and in my favorite scene of the movie, you start hearing, like, the snake. The snake starts sithering around, and they start like, putting, like, some sort of, like, filter on the screen so that you can, if you don't know what's happening, what is happening...
He's basically hypnotizing
Everybody in the room to know that he's about to murder people, and they're not going to believe that it was him, and they're going to have some other answer for this. And so Buck, because he's saved, he's got his girlfriend's cross, he knows exactly what happened, and he's going to expose it.
The deception.
And so he goes on a Facebook Live, and he lets everybody know that Nicholas Carpathia is the Antichrist, and don't listen to him, and you need to watch. Here's all the prophecy, and that's basically a rundown of the film. And so of the plot points, which one was your favorite, or which one?
Tell you what they could have made.
Okay,
based on the books,
based on $50 million, or based on
if they're gonna if you're gonna go 6 months in after the Rapture. At this point, they're all saved. They figure out that Nikolai is going to be the Antichrist. He's more or less revealed himself, all right? So this is where then the story really gets interesting. Because they alluded to all this. So he meets, Hattie, they implied in the books that he's having an affair with her. And if not, they were very close about to have an affair right before the Rapture. So she talks him into getting a pilot gig for the Antichrist, and so he's like, I'm not gonna fly for the Antichrist.
Kevin's gonna direct the next one, by the
right
way.
So he gets a
directed
job
and acted by
so Kevin they're like no like we need to find out what his plans are so we can help evangelize and get more people saved and do it. They're basically we can stop him. Like, no, you can't stop the Antichrist, but we can at least get ahead of the game, know what's coming, so we can plan for it and get more people saved and more people protected for the wrath that's coming, right? And that is a far more, like, to me, like, this is the meat and potatoes of what it would be like to live in a time where you're worried about the police state. You're worried about this Gestapo. You're worried about somebody finding out that you really are a Christian because they could throw you in jail or something bad could happen.
Yeah.
So he has to pretend to be...
But as a movie that's 9 years old, you have to establish characters. So we can't walk into the first minute and have the Antichrist. You could,
but did they establish characters in this? I thought it would
have been cool to be a movie about Trib. You know, the tribulation. That would have been cooler if they just sped that up. And still established character, but made it like about the tribulation. Then if somebody asks, well, what is this about? This is what's going to happen after, you know, because they didn't show the rapture scene. So it's not like if they would have done a playback of like, hey, what happened?
They did do like that replay of like him. He had his hands on the
thing that they could have showed.
Like they showed his hands like shaking inside the plane. Gosh. He's like, mayday, mayday, mayday.
That's all you could show the rapture.
$50 million. That's all we got, $50 million.
Can we talk about the number one, cringeworthy moment? That really just was the even you gasped was the dream with Jesus.
Oh, the dream
was. Please tell me that wasn't Jesus.
That had been Jesus.
I thought it was. After I said that, I was like, please. Course, I said, please tell me that's like Peter at the gate or something like that.
That was
please
the
don't
pure
tell me that.
Flick Jesus.
That's his brother James.
The campiest. It was.
They
could have
took some of the $50 million and at least got the guy from The Chosen just for one scene and be like, look, what can we get you for this? Just to be Jesus in this movie this scene.
Okay.
Because, that was.
It was the worst.
And.
I mean, like a church production. Jesus. That's
it. Really was.
It was. absolutely. Number two, God absolutely speaks to people in dreams, but let's make it more real. That is not. It was so stereotypical. You know, this washed white light. You'd see this white door. You see Jesus.
That was
who spent
the least money on.
Dude, they were like, just go get a door from Home Depot, literally.
they picked...
We're not even going to find a wall for it. We're just going to put the door... We're going to lean it against the wall.
Get all the lights.
Let's pick all the lights. Everybody turn your phones on.
Let's pick the whitest guy we know with the roundest nose with a brown beard and put long hair on him. He'll look no Middle Eastern, no Jewish looking, no like... At least Jim Caviezel looked kind of like Jesus.
No, he looked like he was about to go get a coffee.
You know, he looked like he just.
I thought that guy was.
He looked
like
he just got thrown
out of coffee shops in St. Louis.
Came out of the 1960s peace van or something. Yeah. Like, come on.
Like a bike messenger.
He doesn't even say anything. He just
talks to you in dreams. Like I would have.
I said no to this scene.
I'm glad he didn't talk, because then if he probably would have spoke, I would have been like, that's it. I'm out. I'm walking
out.
She
suddenly had a dream about her and her brother in a car, and she gets thrown from the car. She's like something like symbolism. Like when we have dreams and God speaks to us, he uses things that we understand and you know, symbolism. And the dreams aren't always literal, but they mean something. Well, and she could have had this disturbing dream over and over again of her and her brother being torn apart, and somehow she's falling or rolling out of the car, and he gets to safety, or they're on a boat and she falls and she's drowning and he, you know, is off to safety on some boat. Have it like that. Have it like something like where you get the typology, you get what the meaning of the dream is, without making it hokey, without making it this, you know, so cookie cutter ethereal heavenly, dream.
I'll agree that that was probably the low, like the.
Yeah, no, he's right. It was very low level.
Yes,
that was. It was.
But what was the high then?
What was the high? The high was the scene in the church.
The girl Brian.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. That was the high.
Yeah, the moment that she gave her life to Jesus and everybody came forward. It's like this is the fight we're gonna fight. We're giving our lives to Christ, and now we're in the battlefield. Now we've trusted.
I love
Christ.
The old black lady. I love just
that
so
dialogue.
Like, yeah,
this dialogue's a problem.
Just yelling at that. I was like, that was horrible.
Honey, you got a problem.
Like, come on. That was really bad. You know, but it's still. I liked her character. It was funny.
Yeah, because that scene that I'm talking about, as far as what's the best, like, it's the message. It's the whole message of the film. It's the meaning behind the purpose of why we're here. Like,
hope for the left behind.
Hope for those people who are left, you know. Yeah. And I think it gave it that. I think it, even in this campy film that we can nitpick to death, Mm-hmm. It did what it was supposed to do, which was it inspired hope in those who don't have it. Even to me, I was like, go get them, guys.
The other woman, the other woman that talked to Ray about, and he kind of tells her about, you know, how to open up her heart to Jesus in the church.
Oh, I didn't like that scene.
Yeah. Well, so that you probably, I don't know. In the books, that's his future wife.
Yeah.
So he marries her.
Okay.
So they get.
So
they
that's
get,
in the sequel.
Yeah. They the get married.
Maybe no, that, 8 more years.
Yeah.
When the rapture really happens, dude, and we're in the middle of the
Kevin Sorbo is going to be like 90 then.
So, like, knowing the books and knowing all these
characters.
You went
from Nicolas Cage to Kevin Sorbo. Like,
could you imagine Nicolas Cage?
Nicolas Cage
in this
probably
one?
Looks older than Kevin Sorbo, though. So I will say that. Because.
Would you have rather had Nicolas Cage? He's 64, by the way.
No.
Who is 64?
I would rather have had Kevin Sorbo.
You don't think that Nick Cage in this role
would have been... I just can't do it with his voice.
Okay, so we could talk about casting.
I was going to do a Nicolas Cage impression, but I can't even do it. I need some... You got to, like, have a bunch of cigarettes. I'm sorry.
I didn't mind Buck. I didn't mind Chloe. Even the pastor who was like a, you know,
the narrator. Don't call him
yeah,
the pastor.
No, yeah, yeah, I call understand. Narrator. But I forget his name. It's slipping me. Which he doesn't even survive very long in the whole
Whoa!
Book.
Dude!
Super
yeah.
spoilers.
Yeah, he dies.
Hey, now if you want to read the book series, you're
he
like,
dies.
Oh, well, I need
but
to read the book.
That should have been
now
in this
you
movie.
Can't read the book because Kevin like, just ruined the book.
He should have died.
Do you know that I called Kevin spoiler alert for the longest time? Because he spoils everything. Yeah. Dude, there was all these conversations in my whole life that I've had. I was like, hey, I'm going to go see the movie. You'd be like, oh, where Bruce Willis dies in the end or whatever. Or he's a ghost. Or
spoiler
like he
alert.
Just walks around just like, being like hey, I saw that. Yeah, it was really cool when the spaceship blew up at the end, you know, it's like, oh.
If you're watching this, get a shirt made
we
for Kevin.
Warned everybody.
I called him spoiler alert for a long alert. Time. Yeah. He was in my phone as spoiler alert. I was like,
dang.
I couldn't even tell him I was watching something because I didn't want to, like, if you just mention it, he'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah, so and so won that contest or whatever.
Yeah. You're watching Heroes?
I would never come.
It's over.
Siler dies.
No. It's not true.
So, the casting was fine. It's fine. It's a. A low budget Christian, well, $50 million, not really.
I would say it's upper because, like I said, the Pure Flix compared to. Yeah, but I guess you're relating it to movie theater
again,
Christian.
Yeah,
movies.
Because we're in the theaters, right? So the people who are gonna want to go see this are expecting at least whether they realize it or not. Like maybe they don't have an understanding of Hollywood and how it works. Like you go and you're expecting to see a certain level of quality that you get when you go to the movie theaters regularly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't expect to go and see this thing that's sort of like. You see on TV.
But
you
if
know?
It's a weekend thing, you're yeah. just kind of, you're not, I don't think that's.
I'm not saying it's a problem for people. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, this is a Netflix, not even Netflix level production value, yeah. in my opinion.
No.
So.
And, but, okay, it so won't make here's, it to Netflix, and though. Here's, and so, but at the same time, should you go see this? I think you probably should, because this is just my opinion, because I will also, like, transparent at the end of the movie. Majority of the people in the theater clapped. Now, either they clapped because they were finally thrilled this movie was over, or they clapped because they actually enjoyed
it. No, they stayed around.
Yeah, I think they clapped because they appreciated it. They, you know, they actually applauded.
I think it was an honoring thing, too, because they, like, when the guy starts sharing the gospel, easily they could have been like, well, I'm already Christian. I'm just going to get up.
Right.
But I think that was, like, a cool moment that, like, hey, we're polite. We're not going
to
get
up.
And
then the woman wanted to pray over everybody in the theater.
Okay, I thought you were going to say something about somebody else.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no. And, so, obviously, something got stirred up. As they applauded, people stayed, and then a woman got up and prayed for everyone in the theater, and...
So, was that worth it?
So, clearly, God did something. There was... It stirred up emotions.
Did I mention Huckabee's long prayer?
Huckabee's long prayer to end this movie. So at the end of the film, Kevin Sorbo came on, and I appreciate what Kevin Sorbo says. He says, you know, he gave a lot of his thoughts on prophecy and why prophecy is important, why it's appropriate in the Bible, why it's important for us in living today's times, and how we should not only see prophecy as something that, you know, can inspire us to see what God is going to do in terms of, like, the destruction of the earth and the tribulation and certain negative things, but it's also to give us hope and of the Christ that's going to come, and he's going to, you know, help us through that time, and he's going to ultimately defeat the enemy, and so that was his sort of his thought on prophecy. And I thought that was a good little speech to give to people, you know, because prophecy is not something we talk about very often. It's not a Sunday morning church service message. Typically, it is a message of sort of niche ministries. We talk about prophecy in terms of, like, the end of the world kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? So, but then
end time prophecy, because that's everybody thinks instead of biblical prophecy, everybody thinks of end time prophecy.
Yeah, but then after that prophecy message, Mike Huckabee, former governor of Arkansas and the host of Huckabee on TBN, he came and he wanted to lead him. He must have been a producer or something on this to get this kind of access. Have. And so he gives this long conversation, and dude, he gave the 5-minute prayer, bro.
Yeah, that prayer, I was just like, bro, you got to give breaks, man. You got to give breaks.
He said,
because I was waiting to hear,
dear Jesus, I died for my sins and everything you did.
Dude, I thought he was reading John, all of John. I was like, geez, Louise, this guy's about to read the whole Bible.
The word was.
But it was cool, though.
Yeah.
You know, so I like that. Because when Kevin went on there, I was like, man, is someone going to share the gospel?
Is someone going to share?
Mm-hmm. Somebody, you know, leave it that. Because he was kind of saying, oh, you know, you can use biblical prophecy to witness. And I was just like, I don't know how that would really, you know, go over. I'm not going to quote him. I was like, hey, did you realize that in this time, this past? I don't know how I would do that. It's not my.
Well, Kevin got bored again off eschatology. So, I mean, I think that it's definitely got its purpose.
Okay, that's why.
And I think that if the rapture is really to come and people were really afraid, like, look, half my family left. Like,
yeah, that would be pretty crazy.
It would be a lot different than this film.
Yeah. I would be freaked out, bro.
The reality of it.
I would
They're like, what's for breakfast? Bro. I don't know. Did you make me breakfast? That's not how I would be talking.
I'm not thinking about breakfast at all. I'm just like, still. I don't care. What was it, 6 months later?
Yeah, 6 months later.
Oh, my gosh, man. Mm-hmm. It's not even been a year, bro.
This woman, one of the girls gets attacked in the film.
Chloe.
And
what was the point of that?
What was the point of
that? She saw out of her purse was that thing that led her to the clinic.
Could she have fallen and that happened, though?
It was a note written to her mom, I think, from the black lady or the...
Probably.
The mugging part? Yeah. I don't remember that. Yeah. I don't know.
So she gets mugged.
You don't remember that.
20 years ago.
She ends up... At the clinic with Kevin Sorbo's future wife, right? That we've established from spoiler alert. And so future wife is like, she's got her arm future and she's wife. Like, and she's like fixing this cut on her arm, and she's got this big smile on her face the whole time, like nothing's really going on. And meanwhile, the woman's like yelling at the white girl.
Yeah.
So, you did messed up, and she's like, "What? You better get your life right with the Lord." And that girl's got a smile on her face, like, "I better not get in this conversation because then I got to talk about how I'm saved or whatever." It was the most awkward looking expression from an actor, like in the middle of like an intense moment between two other actors. And so this just and this is when I was like, "God, what are you doing? What is going on here?"
Yeah, God, foolish things.
foolish things. I really feel like this movie, on the surface, is a foolish thing. It doesn't look like a normal movie looks in Hollywood. It definitely isn't written like one.
No.
Even for believers, I felt like, oh,
I wonder if
so heavy-handed.
I hope Dallas or somebody. I would love to see.
But the message is good. The message ultimately
books
is
and
message.
Make a TV. I think it would make a better TV series.
I absolutely agree.
Do
I
you
say
think,
that already.
Oh,
binge-worthy TV series.
Do you think that that's ever included in The Chosen, or if it's just?
I hope that maybe
left
that
behind.
He would
like
take
that aspect of it.
Like they'll get to like the rapture? I don't. What do you mean? What's your question?
I don't know if they're like how far. Like we don't know how long how deep in the Bible.
Oh,
the
no, they're going to the
Book of Acts.
No, like like the crucifixion and Jesus' return. I'm pretty sure is where they end their story. Is what I've heard.
You think?
It's what they've said.
I think that he even said that when he started this, he knew how it would end, or he knew where he wanted to end it.
I don't have the quote in front of me, but they talked about like they're not getting into Book of Acts stuff.
No, I would just awesome. I would like to see
that. So great.
It's
is still around.
It's the TV show about the life and times of Jesus.
Right, right, and the disciples. So, that's
it's not. Yeah, so but
ah,
that's good.
All right, so final grades on Left Behind, guys. I'm gonna give it a B+.
What?
I have to, because I prayed and asked God, why is this film that I didn't really
That's not a real grade. I'm going to tell you all that.
Sure it is.
Right now. No.
Are we grading on a curve?
I'm grading on a curve.
Curve. Well, yeah. Okay, if we grade on a curve, like if we're comparing this to all other Christian movies that are out there that have made it to the movie theater, I'll give it a B.
Yeah, it's definitely, it feels like a movie that came out 15 years ago to me. It does not feel like a modern.
It looked like it.
That's what I'm saying. Like the film, like the video they use, they had some weird filter or something on it. Like it was like a hazy.
Here's a question. Trying to make it look not like an old typing film. Now that I think about it, most of the Christian movies that I've seen that's made it to the movie theater, most of those are based off a true story. Do you think that that plays a fact because we, you know, we can't relate to this because we haven't like really seen something like this happen, you know, no. To where it's like, oh yeah, this guy, for example, the, what was that breakthrough one?
Unbreakable.
The one that happened in Wentzville. You know, and these I saw stories that like God's not dead. That was actually a kid that was in a school, and we've heard we could actually do the research and see all this. You know, and it's I give
Left Behind the same grade I give Breakthrough. I don't know if it's a B+. Wow. I'm just saying that like for me the experience was very similar.
Dude, like, I thought Breakthrough was
look was I thought Breakthrough again goes to the, like the casting, like they had the guy from that 70 shows like the pastor. He's like, hey guys, what's up, let's go to church or what. It's like, yeah. You know, like
the mom scene with the Holy Spirit though, that was stupid. That was the height of the movie. That was it. Yeah. That was the movie, and I was just like, man,
Jesus, you get my
confirm
boy.
Yeah.
And so again, really good moments.
B. That sounds like B.
Yeah.
And it looked good.
It looked okay. Yeah, I mean,
It looked like a high definition. I mean,
it wasn't hazy.
This looked like
it was
like digital. Like it wasn't even high definition. Didn't it? It looked like the old school.
It definitely
like,
looked like SD
grainy
cameras were used.
Yeah.
And
not
that was, it had to been an intentional choice because like it started. I thought it was like a commercial for something else when it first started. And they're doing the credits and
Christians should still go see it.
Oh,
100% to support.
Oh, 100%. And why do you say that?
Because that's, you know, that's how we get more content out there, you know, whenever they see that there's a need and people want to invest money and if they can see that there's an audience. And, you know, that's why probably there's always a hard time to get a bunch of funds because it isn't the majority. As much as we wouldn't mm-hmm. want it to be the majority, we're not.
I want them to make their $50 million and then some for the effort. You know?
And I think you touched on, I think the best thing that could come from this, one great evangelical tarp, is and you mentioned it earlier, is that there was definitely a large a good theme on just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't mean you are. And many people out there are, you know, they're dressing like one, they talk like one, they may be able to answer all the questions, but just because, you know, just there's a lot of preachers, just, you know, if I sleep in a garage doesn't make me a car.
Yeah.
It's just you go to church every Sunday doesn't make you born again, say Christian. And so this movie definitely talks about that. They even the news reports on, well, you know, they're all talking in the panels. Well, it couldn't have been the rapture because there are still Christians here.
Yeah.
And you know, and then
the rapture was debunked the day after the vanishing happened.
And the associate pastor of this church is still there, and you know, and so people that attended church and so I liked that. I think that it may be a wake up call. People that's like, are you being religious, or do you really have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Yeah. Have you really had a born again experience, or are you a Catholic Christian? Whatever, you know, pick a denomination, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist.
Kevin,
no, any of them, but look,
charismatic,
like, I was
Pentecostal,
that way.
Look,
I say that way because that was me for many, many years. I was raised Catholic. I was not born again. I was in the club. This is me talking. This was my faith walk, is that my only trust in making it to heaven and out of hell was because I was told that by my parents and others. Oh, you were baptized, you're good to go. Somebody sprinkled water on your head when you were a kid. You're part of the church. You went to first communion or first confession, and you know all these. That's religion. That's all ritual. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's I. These are the do-dos. You don't do things to get into heaven. You can't. I don't care how long your do-do list is. It's not going to make it because it's all do-do at the end. But you've got to be
Kevin's
saved.
Tweeted that one before.
In the same respect, though, not every Catholic church is the same. Not every Presbyterian church.
I'm talking about me. That's me.
I got you.
Me and my walk, and that I understand and identify, because that is a real danger. No one told me, look, just because you call yourself a Catholic, or a Christian, or a Baptist, or a Presbyterian, doesn't mean you're going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the rapture happens or you die in a car accident tomorrow, no one's promised tomorrow.
Yeah.
Don't quit playing church.
Depart from
Be part of the church. Be part of the body of Christ. If you don't know that you know that you know, then you better make sure you know that you know that you know. It says in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are born again. if you've not had that witness inside you, the Holy Spirit bearing witness, something has happened. Something has changed in me. I was one way and now I am another. And that is it. If you haven't had that, I encourage you to go after it, because you might be playing church. Mm-hmm. Saying you definitely are, you might be playing church. And you might be thinking that you're okay, but you might not be.
It's a good movie for Christians to see.
Yeah.
Because also, like he's saying, I think it will challenge you to make just an inner examination of yourself. Just be like, man, am I right, really? You know, have I just been playing church? So.
Amen. All right. Well, I think that's pretty good. Lord, thank you for making Left Behind season 14 or whatever they're on now. And we just pray that you would continue to make Christian films that help inspire the gospel message to penetrate the hearts of unbelievers, as well as encourage those who know you to go out and share the message to everybody they know. That is going to be how we get this gospel shared across the world, like the Bible says. So thank you for watching. And until next time, we pray you discover a future and a hope for your life today.